All right, welcome everybody back to the Rampancy.net podcast, Anger, Sadness, and Envy. My name is Nargajin. I'm the webmaster of Bungie fan site, Rampancy.net, and I'm here with Blackstar of Blackstar Productions.
Hi, how's it going?
And Cody Miller of, which is it now? Is it Halo Reach is not canon or Halo Anniversary is not canon?
Let's say both.
It's both. All right, well, we're here to talk about Halo Anniversary, the recently released remastered edition of Halo 1, produced by 343 Industries, the internal studio created by Microsoft to shepherd the Halo franchise, and Saber Interactive. And now, I believe last time we talked about this, there were kind of three positions in the group. Blackstar, you were of the opinion that when it was announced, you were going to buy it. And Cody,
yes.
Your position was when it was announced that you were not going to buy it, or at least when it was found out that the multiplayer was going to be Halo Reach multiplayer with Halo 1 map packs, right?
Correct, yeah.
And my position was that I was kind of on the fence. I was hoping that at some point there would be some announcement of a new feature or something that would push me, you know, to one side or the other. I was online co-op is great, although I've tried it. My internet is too bad for that to work. But there were no screenshots, no saved films, none of those things. I was hoping that they would be a one more thing moment. Instead, what was announced is what we got. We got a $40 game. We have new textures. We have a new remastered music, but the same gameplay and the same geometry and the same levels. I finished my playthrough this morning, so have we all played this game, at least some of it?
I've played through it completely once on the normal level, and I just began this early this week, starting with Legendary. I wanted the first one to just be a fun, getting a chance to feel, you know, getting used to it all again, because I literally haven't played it for years. The original game, we retired when the new one started coming out and didn't want to get that, you know, back and forth feel of getting confused with the minor button changes and things like that. I wanted to get set in each one individually. And going back to this, I wanted to refresh myself with it and found out that I was actually out of practice with a lot of things. But the first run and normal was absolutely a pleasure. I absolutely enjoyed every minute of it. And Legendary, unfortunately, I just got into the beginning of Truth and Reconciliation. And unfortunately, there's a bunch of sections where it's just feeling like a grind. But again, that's just the gameplay. That's not, you know, all the tweaks and changes and aesthetic differences that they made. I've actually been loving it, so I'm not sure how everyone else has been doing.
I just finished my heroic playthrough, and Cody, you've also had access to the game this past week, I believe, right?
Yeah, well, I actually went through the whole thing because, you know, I wasn't going to buy it, but I ended up having somebody send it to me so I can do the cutscenes for the cutscene library, because I have equipment that can do it in 5.1 surround, and Lewis kind of wanted that. So I did get the game in order to play through to capture the cutscenes. I just played through on easy, you know, because I didn't really want to have to play it any more than I had to. My experience wasn't as great as yours, because I encountered quite a few bugs, sound stuttering, and even crashes, so it was pretty sad, actually.
Really? Which version of the Xbox were you running it on?
My Xbox, it's a white one. It's got HDMI. It was the first one that came with HDMI, so I don't know what version of the Xbox that is.
Okay, because mine was a 2007, and Narc has one also here at the house as a 2010, and I played it on both of those and didn't have an issue.
And I even installed the game, too. I installed it to the hard disk, and that didn't seem to make any difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so did I. I did the same thing for fear that either the disk speed or the, you know, spinning of it was going to be too annoying. I installed it on two separate drives, one of the original 8 gigs and an additional, I think it was a 230 or a 250 gigabyte drive. Both of them were flawless. In fact, the only bugs that I even found out during the game, which actually I was kind of laughing at, were the same bugs that the original game had, which were weapons that were dropped in certain parts, were getting stuck in the geometry and spinning around, making the clanging noise over and over again. And the moment that happened, I laughed my head off saying, yep, we're back playing Halo again. It just felt very nostalgic there for that moment.
I'm not sure why. I actually seem to find that happening more in this playthrough of this game than I ever noticed it happening in any single playthrough with the original game. I suppose...
I used to happen all the time.
I suppose so. It's all just psychological, right? Anything we notice in this playthrough is going to seem like, well, that must be because it's the new version, and it probably isn't. I mean, there were lots of glitches that I noticed that, you know, that really were from the old game, although there's some that seemed to be new. For instance, there seemed to be a hitch going in and out of cutscenes. Doesn't seem as smooth as it was in the original game, where in the original game, basically, all you got was the aspect ratio would change and you would lose control and it would go smoothly from the engine directly into the cutscene. And that doesn't seem to happen anymore.
There's definitely a problem with the camera in the cutscene, because a lot of the times the camera moves are either not smooth or you get like weird shaking. I guess the biggest thing was when the camera kind of dollies into the panel when they're about to, you know, unseal the casket with the Master Chief, it sort of jitters in and out, and it's really quite off-putting.
Well, here's my question. Has anybody gone through the game without the new added-on effects or sounds to see whether or not that they're part of the actual original version as opposed to the overlay, to see whether or not those particular issues are still embedded in this particular version? Because if they weren't in the original but they are in this, I would say, yeah, that was a problem with the conversion.
Well,
but if you go back to the original look and feel and sound, and they're not there.
I was switching back and forth quite a lot. And of course, the problem is you can't switch during a cutscene. So you have to decide before a cutscene is triggered whether you want to watch the old version or the new version.
Right.
But other things, there were a lot of cosmetic differences that were a little bit odd, especially with sound. For instance, on the library level, which probably has gotten the most extensive changes of all the appearances.
Looks great, by the way.
Well, it's very well lit. I can say that for it. But you also remember there are vents throughout that level that drip green slime, and this slime dripping is accompanied by a sound effect. In the new game, however, there is no sound. It's kind of lacking.
Yeah, it's weird. Actually, I didn't really notice that much of the drip. In fact, in 343 Guilty Spark, when you're first going down into the level the first time, there are a couple of points where you do see the green slime that is protruding from several overhanging objects and other structures. And there was one in particular where, you know, after you see the Marine that's having the psychological breakdown, where there's a pattern that forms itself over in the floor, and there's a distinct dripping noise, and that, again, both was lacking. So that was kind of disappointing that wasn't there as well.
I wasn't really a fan of the new cutscenes. I think whoever animated them didn't really have a lot of polish, because the animation was definitely not as good as in the original Halo. I mean, especially Cortana, there's parts where she, like on the bridge of the Pillar of Autumn, you know, she like opens her mouth and then closes it, then opens her mouth and closes it, almost as if she doesn't know what to say. And then like what seems like an eternity later, she finally gives her line. It's just there's weird things like that. And then when the Master Chief is tossing the grenade up and down at the end of the Maw, it's just even more ridiculous than it was in the original.
Yeah.
Well, that one, it's funny. I always thought that looked like a giant pineapple. I don't know how
they made it bigger.
They made it look even bigger.
How are you supposed to hang that off your belt? I don't understand that. But the Cortana bits I would definitely agree with, because there were a bunch of syncing issues at some point. I don't know whether the update that they put out for it fixed it or helped it, but I remember the first time I did go through that with the new cutscenes, that the sound sync was off by over a second. And especially with the bits with Cortana, that her mouth movements and her facial expressions, they did seem a little blank or not as good. Even the body movements, not as good as the original.
I really don't understand how they could ship the game like that.
To be honest, I don't know how they could either, to tell you the truth. I found that disappointing. But definitely there was a lack of polish and refinement on that level of specifics that we've come to know and love with Bungie stuff. That even with the lower tech, they got the transition right, they got the tone right, they got the body movements right. It may not have had the high-res stuff, but at least that they got the little fiddly bits correct. They didn't get all the fiddly bits correct. I mean, nobody ever does. But at least the ones that we noticed that were fine before now seem to be broken. So that was really disappointing myself.
Specifically with Cortana, it's not so bad with characters like Guilty Spark and the Master Chief, who don't have lip sync. But with Cortana, I think it's really, of all the characters that they remastered or improved, hers is the worst. The more detailed looking texture map for the Cortana figure does not mesh well with the lip sync and animations that go in the original. Whereas the original Cortana is kind of stylized, all of the expression is in body language and movements of arms and hands and eyes and eyebrows and just a little bit, you know, in the lips. But the new figure that they basically looks like they've imported from Halo 3, more or less, is supposed to be more expressive. And when she doesn't have those cues, when that animation isn't there, she looks slack jawed and stupid, and it's really jarring.
Yeah, we know what else bugged me was her ass crack wasn't as defined in the new version. Like, you know, in the original, you know, there's that shot in the Assault on the Control Room where she's from behind. You could slide a credit card down that thing, but now it's just like a little flat. It kind of really, I don't know.
No,
we know you'd be looking.
I always liked the Halo 1 Cortana design. I think I like the best of all the Cortana designs in all the games. And I'm not really sure why they got away from, given that it's supposed to be a virtual character who defines her own appearance, why they went out of their way to make it look more realistic and less stylized. I could see them applying that to all the human characters, but I didn't see why it needed to be done to Cortana specifically.
I think the original was the sharpest. I think that's probably why you like it the best, because the body movements and especially the voice lip sync was dead on. I mean, it was absolutely dead on. I mean, I can remember when they were testing the audio. Remember the Budweiser commercial that they put out when they were testing the audio lip syncing with the movements of the mouths? And I can remember how tight it was. And with the Cortana one, it just worked. You know, and considering you've been watching it for 10 years, every expression, every movement you expect and you know, and is synced up right.
And this isn't an unsolvable problem. This isn't even that difficult. I mean, Valve kind of solved it with Half-Life 2. And, you know, the technology's been around ever since I mean, if you have a game in the Source Engine, you can literally drop a text file in and and drop the recording in, and it will auto do lip sync.
Yeah, they could have easily spent some time tweaking this thing. You know, I mean, geez, how long would it really take?
Yeah, it's not as if the technology isn't there.
No, so I mean, if they could have, in fact, I'm curious to go back in the first, because I have not played the whole game through with all of the original look and feel, and I definitely want to do that at some point. Yeah. I'm looking to get the cutscenes in high def and in widescreen and all that fun stuff.
It's not just the sync, though, because there are other bits of content that are literally lost. For instance,
yeah, They changed some of the model movements. They changed the body movements. They changed
Some of them were the same, but as I said, some of the same arm movements.
Well, I'd say similar. I wouldn't say the same.
Don't look right on the new model. But even just simple things, like for instance, when the Master Chief goes back to the control room at the start of Two Betrayals, Cortana's eye color has changed to let you know that she's been affected by her stay in this computer core and by what she's found out.
You're talking about in the original, right?
Yeah, the original cutscene. Yeah. Her eyes are red. And of course they don't do that with the new model. And I think even if they had, it wouldn't have looked right. So literally that more realistic model is less expressive because it can't give you that cue about what she's like. I mean, you still get it from her voice performance. It's not as if you're confused by what's going on without that cue. But that was part of the aesthetic presentation now, and it's lost in all you get in return really is the Halo 3 haircut, which I never really liked anyway.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it either. Notice how her scale though is also changed a number of places. The scale of her in especially in the Assault and Control Room and
it looks off. There are places where she looks smaller and places where she looks taller, and it's really weird. Let's talk for a bit about how did we find any places where the new aesthetic presentation affected gameplay? Because I ran into a bunch of places where I noted it. In the start of Truth and Reconciliation in the sniper area, there have always been, you know, little nooks and holes and crannies in the scenery where you could sneak sniper shots through. But now with the new textures and the new graphics, there are some areas that look like they're holes but aren't. And, you know, you'll fire a shot and, you know, you'll hit something that isn't there in the new textures. And you switch and you go like, oh, well, that's because that tree is not really where it looks to be. It's 2 inches over from where it seems to be. There are some ledges that are like that. I got up on the ledge where the second Wraith tank is in Assault in the Control Room, the one that's over the tunnel entrance. And that ledge in the new textures is off from where it is in the old. And if you switch back and forth, you can see the difference.
On Assault on the Control Room too, if you try to do the bridge descent, you will clip through the fake geometry in the updated graphics because the wall is a little bit out, and it makes it really, really hard to do that trick if you're not running the original graphics.
I think the only ones I noticed was after Narc had mentioned the ones in Truth and Reconciliation. There were a couple of rocks I can remember sniping around or through or over, and suddenly those were unavailable or incredibly difficult, or I would see the shot look like it actually hit the target, and it didn't. It either ricocheted off or hit something. So I have to say I noticed them more when I was playing on Legendary and I was fighting more than when I was playing on Normal and just having, grand old time doing the whole walkthrough thing. So they definitely are there because the models don't exactly match up. That's a given. And with now all the on levels like Truth and Reconciliation, where instead of the desert environment that I remember Narc had mentioned in an email, they had added in a lot more brush and tree and grass and things. There are a lot more objects in your way that weren't there before in spots and in areas where you had been previously known to take out or to focus on targets and suddenly it's a little bit more difficult because now you don't have the straight visuals you had before because the other environments were more barren and simple.
Silent Cartographer too, there's tons of ledges and stuff that if you're trying to get back up the quick way, they're ledges in the middle of the room. They're like little protrusions. They are different shapes in the original and in the updated graphics. So if you're trying to jump on them in the updated graphics, it's very difficult because it doesn't model all the notches that are on them. So that's another place that's kind of tough. I really only noticed it when I was trying to trick the game. I didn't notice it so much playing through normally.
Well, there were some places where I noticed some changes in the way it played. A lot of it associated with areas that in the original game were pretty dark. And a lot of the dark areas either had very low contrast or it looks like they literally had volumetric fog in it to obscure, to reduce the draw distance. And of course, on the new Xbox and the new graphical engine, you don't really need that. So, 343 Guilty Sparks Swamp Exterior doesn't have fog anymore. And, part of it is just an atmospheric aesthetic difference, but part of it is also gameplay. For instance, when you get to the tunnel entrance in 343 Guilty Spark, there's supposed to be that scene where there are supposedly Marines fighting the Covenant there. Of course, there are no Marines. They're just assault rifles scripted to float out, fire, and then fall. But that whole area was so foggy between the fog and the foliage and the trees. All of those grunts would scatter into that little bowl, and there was a little cat and mouse game that would play out as you kind of, looked for all of them. Well, now you can see the...
Well, if you're bothered going left, you could go right and just go down.
Yeah, you could bypass it, but if you want to fight that area, yeah. It was a little cat and mouse game because you couldn't see everything. Well, now you can see everything perfectly. And one thing I noticed is that those shade turrets that are there around the edges of the bowl, they used to be traps. Because what would happen is that if you sat in one and said, okay, now I'm going to use this, I'm going to save some ammo, I'll blow all these grunts away and jackals away with this turret. What would happen is that you'd sit there for a while, you wouldn't see any targets, and a grenade would come out of nowhere and tag the shade. But now you can see everything. So, way in advance of a grenade being thrown, you can see where the targets are and nobody can get near you. So what at some point was kind of a situation where, a small group of grunts is usually no danger to you with no other factors involved, could tempt you into putting yourself in a vulnerable position. And now there isn't any of that. And once you go into the facility as well, the same kinds of things. Areas that were dark that Flood used to emerge from, let's say in the library, are now very, very clearly lit. I mean, some of them emerge from, from tubes in the walls. But there are other ones I found that literally just spawn up in dark corners. And in the original game, you wouldn't have been able to see them spawn. And now you can. You can see them literally just pop into existence up near the roof and then fall down the walls.
Well, I have to say for the first time, I was actually enjoying the library because I love what they've done with the design work. It doesn't look as naked and flat and brown and shadowy as the last
one.
I didn't see any spawning enemies, though. No, I didn't actually, to tell you the truth. In fact, there were a bunch of times I wish I had more time to appreciate.
It's not so much
scenery.
A library now; it's more like Las Vegas.
Yeah, I could say that that's probably true. But you know what? That's a good thing, you know, because it is America's playground. Yeah, I kind of like what they did to it. It definitely doesn't look as monotonous and one dimensional that the original had, despite even, like Narc said, that it still has its flaws, and now you're seeing a little bit more in the cracks of, you know, where they have problems. But, you know, overall, though, I have to say I was definitely enjoying the straight walkthrough on normal. I absolutely loved how it looked. I loved how it sounded for the most part. Some of the music, I definitely like either the redone or at least the reworking slightly. Other ones, not so much at all. So it actually would be nice to pick and choose, but I can understand why you can't technically do that.
Rock Anthem for saving the world.
Oh God!
Let's talk about the music
and the sound effects then a little bit. I think in some of the areas, the levels that might have been a little bit weak, or levels that I didn't like as much, it did seem like the new experience was a little bit better. I would say like the library and Keys. Actually, Keys, I think the music actually seemed like it was an improvement. But there are other tracks that were
big
not,
improvement.
And some of it is just that. We've already played through Halo 3, and I got, you know, some nice new orchestral recordings of some of my favorite pieces, like On a Pale Horse and stuff like that. So if Anniversary had come in new with this stuff, I might have appreciated it better. But now I've got to compare it not just to the original, but also to the Halo 3 adaptations.
Version of it, yeah.
And then there are some that really just fall flat. I would say Rock Anthem for Saving the World, which I think was always controversial. I mean, all of the prog rock stuff that Marty has put into the game, you know, has been viewed as slightly controversial by some people who prefer the straight-up orchestral soundtrack approach. But even the new version here I thought was okay right up until the guitar solo comes in. And then I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Man.
Seriously.
That was painful. It's almost like they gave it to like a high school band saying, hey, why don't you do your version of it? Okay, man. It didn't have the same level of quality of even the original that was done 10 years earlier. So, in fact, like I remember asking Narc, it's like, gee, I wonder what Marty thinks. I wonder what the audio guys think of the new versions. And Narc seemed to think that they might be on a contract where they can actually talk about it. So it'd be curious at some point if he actually did sound off on what he thinks of it. If he happened to hear it yet,
I wouldn't want to put Marty in a position of having to say something uncharitable in order to be honest. So I don't know if I actually want to ask that.
I'll ask him
that we can read between the lines. I've given that. I think he's intelligent enough to do that. But just to get a feel for that, I would love to know deep inside what he really feels. But I would definitely agree that some of it was okay. Some of it was actually pretty darn good. Others definitely not so much. So overall, I'd have to give it like, you know, a 6.5 at best.
There were some of the tracks in TNR that I think were also a bit off. I think ambient, was it ambient sounds or
something like that? Yeah. I miss the original ambient sounds there. You know, it definitely was more immersive, I think, than this version.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. Well, actually, before we get to Kinect, why don't we talk about the sound effects? Because they changed not just the music, but also the sound effects. And unlike the music, as far as I can tell, you can't change those back. And a lot of the weapon sounds are different. The pistol seemed like it was toned down a little bit, like somewhere between Halo's pistol and ODST's pistol.
Love the new sniper rifle.
Beefed up. It sounds like a howitzer now.
It's supposed to. It's a 50 for Jesus. You know, it sounds right now. It does. The other one, it sounded like an M80. This one sounds like a real .50 caliber weapon.
I was off put by the plasma weapons. They just, Halo 1, they had an oomph to them. They had a deepness to the sound that sounded powerful. But here they're just like, they sound like toys. And the Bungie's been doing that. They've just made the plasma weapons sound less and less impressive as the series went on. And I guess they just sort of stuck with this with the anniversary, but I didn't like it. I mean, the plasma rifle in Halo Combat Evolved sounds like it's doing some serious damage. But in here, it's just, it just doesn't have that feel to it.
Yeah.
I definitely like the visuals of the new plasma weapons, though. I think I like the smaller bolts that run faster, that are more beam-like. And the impressions when they actually hit leaves this neat little... I was telling an arc about this neat little glowing circle that slowly fades afterwards as if it was really hit by a very powerful heat source.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying.
I
know it wasn't the original, but I love the way that they did the new version. Oh, the new version looks really sharp.
I actually think they did improve the sound of the Needler. The Needler always, because of the...
Needless.
Because it was glass, you know, the original sounded a little bit weak, and the new one sounds a little bit more like more metallic.
Yeah, metallic crystal-like. You know, it has a sharpness to it. It almost, you can almost feel it, you know, breaking apart in your hands, whereas the other one was almost like a generic glass-breaking sound.
Huh, I did. Okay, I didn't actually pick up the Needler, so.
You did a whole playthrough, you didn't pick up a Needler?
No.
Not once.
I needed it to get the there's an achievement for clearing out all the elites in Keys. Which actually I wouldn't call myself an achievement whore, but I like achievements in games when they add replay value by giving you a tiny bit of incentive to go and play something in a different way. And we've been doing that, you know, for years with Halo anyway, especially especially some of the vehicle levels that give you so many choices, like Assault on the Controller, where you have, you know, you've got a wide variety of vehicles to choose from. You can use them in certain parts or not. You can do the whole level on foot if you want.
And the tricksters would make up their own. I mean, they would make up, gee, get your warthog up to this particular level. Gee, can we flip it over here? And, you know, can we get up to the top of this mountain and how many
keys
moves?
Keys was never one of my favorite levels, but this achievement gave me an incentive to play through an area that normally I would skip. Because what happens is that normally after you reach Keys and you get the chip, there's really just a short walk back to the hangar. And you don't have to play the hangar area at all. You just have to fight your way to the ledge, and then you can drop down on the Banshee and board and fly right out. And so you skip that whole area. Well, in this case, there was an achievement for clearing out all those elites. And you literally have to go looking for most of them, because you have to, you know, you can't just drop down the tunnels and shoot a couple of guys. You've got to walk all the way around. There's some of them that are in areas where you'd never have to go unless you thought the only way to get down to the ground level was to walk instead of, you know, just jump off the ledge.
I always kind of equated that with the last section on Assault in the Control Room, where you don't have to go all the way over to the end of the bridge and then go through the inside of the level and then down through the elevator.
You can jump onto the spine or, you know, there's so many things
or
you can do.
Grab or a Banshee exactly. Or whatever.
And I was kind of short on ammo, and the best weapon for taking out all the elites in the end of that level turns out to be a Needler, and there's plenty of them around.
Actually, I love the new plasma pistol, because I personally hated the old plasma pistol. It literally looked like a Fisher Price toy, and it acted like one too.
How did it sound
actually,
like one?
It felt that way, and this one actually feels lethal. And in fact, I'm really hating the grunts and the jackals on Legendary, because they're firing these damn bolts at you at 2 and 3 staccato real fast, and I'm really hating, because they're lethal, these little bastards, and the way the shield workings now, you know, it takes forever to recharge, so you really got to be careful. When grunts, you start to fear grunts, you know it's a good weapon, so I'm definitely enjoying the new plasma pistol.
Okay, Cody, you brought up Kinect. I think you were asking if anybody had tried the Kinect features. Am I the only one who has Kinect?
Don't have one.
I think so.
Nope.
You're the only one in the world.
You actually got one?
Yeah, I do. So anyway, I did try out some of the features, not all of them. There is the one feature that they put in that's unique, that you have to use Kinect in order to access, and that's this library thing where you say the word analyze, and the screen starts to cycle colors, and then you can focus the reticle on an object like a dropped weapon or an enemy body or a vehicle, and then you say the word scan, and what that does is that builds up a bestiarum type database that you can access once you're out of the game, that gives you a description of all the units, elite major, elite minor, jackal major and minor, grunt major and minor, spec ops, all of the enemies and all the weapons and all the vehicles are in there, and I think there may be an achievement for filling it up or something.
Can you do this in the middle of combat, or is this just sections option?
I would say it seems to me that it's designed only to work when you're not in combat. In fact, I don't know whether it was because of the noise being made or whether they've specifically disabled it, but it seemed like when I was being fired at, it did not want to trigger the analyze mode. And if you're hit by a projectile while you're in that mode, it drops you out of the mode. And
So it's not supposed to be used for combat, even accidentally.
No, but there are at least two enemies that have to be triggered in this mode because they don't have any bodies. It's flood carrier forms and flood infection forms. When you shoot them, they disappear. So you have to be able to – so what I was doing literally was I was turning away and around a corner, turning the analyze mode on, and then turning back towards the target and saying scan. And even in that case, getting the infection forms to scan was a little bit problematic because they would move in and out of the reticle and it would say unable to scan.
This feature sounds incredibly stupid because there's absolutely no reason why they couldn't have just put the bestiary in the extras menu, you know?
Sure, they could have.
I am really wondering
I think it's
why.
A replay add-on.
Yeah.
Let's throw in this cool idea.
Here's the question. Here's a question. You know how you can say grenade and it tosses a grenade, right?
Yes.
If a Marine in front of you tosses a grenade and he screams, grenade, do you also toss one?
Yes.
Yeah. How does that work?
Yes.
It does.
I will tell you.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
I will tell you
your Marines are tossing your
grenades.
I'll
tell you something else. I played through the first few levels with the feature off. You can turn the Kinect voice recognition feature off. So that it won't, if you say some words like grenade, it won't be triggered. But at some point, I turned it back on to test this library function. And then I reach 343 Guilty Spark, and I reach the Crazy Marine. And so I'm just moving out of his field of view so he'll stop shooting me so that I can listen to him. And one of the first things he says is, get away from me. Well, apparently Kinect thought that meant grenade, and and it threw a grenade and killed the Crazy Marine. So I don't know why they didn't anticipate that.
Get away from me!
That things that characters say in the game might also be fed back into the voice recognition. But apparently they did not test that, at least not exhaustively.
They probably just played the game on headphones, you know.
Wow, probably.
Yeah.
Or they didn't include anything that says, eliminate from the following sources. Now, here's my question. Have you tried this in co-op and, dare I say, split screen? So if one person's screaming grenades, do you both throw grenades at the same time?
No, I haven't done local – I haven't played local co-op yet, so I don't know if those features work or if they're broken in that sense or not.
That is a good question.
Or if the Kinect is – yeah, the Kinect is smart enough to know which source is screaming or which character is screaming.
I don't think
grenades.
It can, because to the best of my knowledge, the microphones that Kinect uses are built into the device itself. It doesn't use the headsets. So, for instance, if it was taking its mic input from the headsets, then it could isolate two players on the same box. But as far as I know, it does not do that. It actually uses the mics that are built into the thing itself.
The ambient in the room, and obviously it's not eliminating what audio it's generating through the speakers of the Xbox.
It's obviously not canceling that out. Whatever ability it has to use the camera and a directional mic to try and figure out which one of multiple people in front of it is speaking, it doesn't seem to do that either, because as I said, the game audio set it off at least that one time.
Well, whatever you do, don't watch Star Trek 3, because then you'll cause the thing to self-destruct if it's listening to what's going on in the room.
And like the Analyze, I think that is also a stupid feature, because there is literally no situation in which it is easier or more convenient to say grenade than it is to simply pull the trigger.
No. No, or reload, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you can switch back and forth between classic and remastered by saying classic or remastered, which is in no way faster, easier, or more convenient than hitting the back button.
The library.
Now, if you could say. Now, if you could say jump down the bridge on Assault in the Control Room and it does it, that would be cool. Or do the shield bump on keys, that would be cool. Or
BXR.
I never managed to pick that off.
Take me to the nipple grunt, and there we go.
I have to admit, most of the tricks that I had been able to do in the original game, I was able to do in this one, like stealing the banshees on Assault Control Room, some of the other various jumps.
Is that really a trick anymore? Now that it's
never able to do, so I couldn't verify whether that's doable in this version or not.
Well, I could never do. I couldn't actually do it in the original, so I still can't do it.
I did actually see that the pipe was still there in Keys. It was dangling off the end there, so they kept the flood pipe. Yep. You remember that hanging off of the end? So that's still there in the model. I was worried that
that was another area that's greatly improved. If you switch back and forth between looking that, I mean the original proto grave mine Keys blob thing there is literally just his little blob. Face and a rather featureless blob surface with some tentacles at the end. And of course they did a pretty good job, and especially after you've punched him in the new version, I have to say that was pretty inside of his head.
Well, there's also two other guys next to him that are standing. There are three people in this thing. They're all huddled up together into this big blobby thing, so it's not
yeah, and the new blob also has more faces on it.
Yeah, you know.
Who was the, not Miranda, but who was the other woman that Keith saw in the terminal when his life was flashing before his eyes? Was that his wife or whatever? I didn't think he was married.
Halsey. I don't think he was married. Okay. But Miranda has to have a mother, and the implication's always been that it was Halsey.
Okay.
Spoilers.
Makes sense.
All right. Terminals. We're not going to talk too much about this because we're going to do that elsewhere.
Right, on
the websites, but I'll just comment kind of generally in that I think you would want to do terminals for a couple of reasons. One is to set up Halo 4. I think it's obviously the direction they're going to go with on Halo 4 now. They're going to tie in, I think, the novels that Greg Baer has written. They're obviously going to bring in a character from that novel to be in Halo 4. It doesn't really have much of a connection to Halo's original story, except to the extent that it is inserted into these terminals. Another reason would be to expand on the lore and maybe to fill in some plot holes or to answer some questions that players might have had after playing Halo 1 for the umpteenth time. Ask, why doesn't this obvious thing happen? Such as, why doesn't Installation 04 defend itself at all? You know, why are these human and Covenant ships allowed to come in and land and or crash? Why is no effort made to keep anybody away from where the flood is until after it escapes? Unfortunately, I think where the terminals attempt to answer these questions, they really fall flat. The answers are not satisfying, and it merely raises even more questions that cannot be answered to the extent that it was really better to just leave it alone.
I think it's easy to answer that one particular question about why they didn't defend itself and nobody was around. It's simple. They showed up after 5 p.m. Those cutscenes in and of themselves, they aren't really geared or tied
after
up 5 with the
p.m.
original.
Slip reclaimer through slot indoor.
Yeah, exactly. They unfortunately are, like you said, more setups for the other stuff. In fact, we were talking about this earlier where they had said some things that not only doesn't make any sense, but completely eliminates the whole point of them saying
None
it at all.
In particular, I would say that there's a cutscene that is a flashback to the commissioning of the Halo arrays, where Guilty Spark has supposedly left his previous installation, whatever that was, and is now getting his new one. And this one ends with him referring to Installation 04 as his home,
and also as Halo.
And this drives me nuts. It drives me nuts because it's telling me that if this game was supposed to be an indication of how 343 Industries is going to be supporting this franchise, this tells me that they don't understand it. well enough to no, do that.
Completely, yeah.
Halo.
He always called it Installation 04.
Halo is a English translation of a covenant language word used by them in their religion to refer to these installations that they're looking for. Guilty Spark has, on a number of occasions, criticized the Covenant for their quote-unquote inaccurate verbiage, their usage of religious terms to refer to technology. So it is beyond stupid for Guilty Spark to ever use that word, and he has never used that word until now.
Yep, so that just tells you right there that the level of detail and attention to these specific things is pretty much not
there.
Well,
speaking of technology, this is I think the terminal's kind of exposed a little technical limitation with the 360, because if you look on the disc after installing the game, like, it's pretty much filled to the brim. There's not a bit left that you can really use. It's pretty much 7.6 gigs. And I'm looking at the terminals, and the bit rate on the video is not high enough. I saw blocking.
No, it's
terrible.
I saw
blocking everywhere.
Yeah, it's very low.
I'm used to seeing, you know, videos on the PlayStation 3 rendered in 1080p using, you know, Blu-ray data rates, and it looks fantastic. And it's just a shame that they couldn't have done something like that with the terminals, you know, presumably because of the DVD medium not giving them the space.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they've only got, A, so much room, and B, if they were to spend the time the same way that Bungie had in trying to make all those models in the game engine, that's adding another whole level of complexity.
If they had used existing models and textures and done those as cutscenes in-engine, that would have actually taken up less space.
Yes.
Oh, less space, but more work, so that goes to show. But yeah, you're absolutely right, especially with that one niggling thing. And unfortunately, you see those same type of things throughout.
And then they waste space having a video of the ending credits, which are sped up, but they're still 13 minutes long. And it's the same credits that you see when you beat the game. You know, I don't know.
Actually, you know, I waited for the end scene where you see Guilty Spark flying, you know, spoilers. Yeah, where you see Guilty Spark
and there's no sound,
you know, flying
no sound
away
in space, man.
Into the camera. There's no sound. And also, the quality of the video, for whatever reason, I don't know if they didn't do anything with it, or they kept it, you know, this low-quality bink compression stuff that they do, but it looked absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I mean,
it really
they
did.
Should,
it actually looked bad.
Can the 360 even play H.264? I'm just wondering.
Yes, yes,
you know,
it can.
I honestly...
So it's got
it's got a
12 times DVD drive. That's more than enough to play a Blu-ray file. You know, I don't understand.
Yeah, I can.
Why they couldn't
I've
have
used,
maybe tried a little harder?
I've used a Mac program called Connect 360, which allows you to use a Mac as a media server for the 360's movie playing functions. And yes, the 360 is perfectly capable of playing. I think not the highest profiles, but it can play H.264.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't even need the highest profiles.
But H.264 even of itself takes up a lot of room. So a 1080p video on that thing, yeah, you're talking gigs.
Yeah, so I guess it's sort of just the limitation of the DVD drive sort of was exposed itself there.
Yeah, they'd have to put it on a whole separate disc. And that would add too much money to it, I think, so...
Well, I don't know. Maybe if some of the textures in the remastered version had been a little bit less detailed and more compressible, because there were some areas where they were literally just way too much detail on surfaces that didn't matter. And in some areas, especially, like, I was really worried. I saw an early screenshot of a Forerunner floor texture in The Silent Cartographer that I thought really looked off and didn't look Forerunner at all. It was
really?
Too busy.
Which one?
The one outside the main installation. I think they changed it in release because it doesn't look that bad. But there are lots of areas in... Okay. There are a lot of areas in Assault in the Control Room where surfaces that previously had detail have had their detail removed, and they are now more or less flat and featureless. And other areas that were flat and featureless in the original game and have now had large amounts of detail, and in some cases lighting added to them. For instance, all in the interiors of Two Betrayals, as you're journeying back through this same geometry that you've gone forwards through to reach the control room, there were, in the original game, flashing lights that actually didn't seem to emanate from anywhere. You know, you'd go to an object that is pulsing with light, and you'd walk all the way around it looking for the light source, and there's no light source above it, and the light
right.
sources on the surface are not themselves pulsing. Literally, just the texture itself is pulsating. You switch into the new version, all the lighting effects removed entirely.
You know, that just reminds me of the Halo 2 documentary. I don't know if you remember the disc that came with Halo 2, where the art director Marcus Leto is talking to the guy. He's like, "Now notice that it's very complex over here. It's very simple over here. Why don't we flop that?" So I'll bet you that's what 343 did.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Was it the old Dilbert joke, to be looked at as a management genius, you have to centralize everything that is decentralized and decentralize everything that is centralized. So all they've done is swapped it. They did it a lot in the library, too. For instance, I actually liked what they did in some areas. They took some motifs that were used very sparingly in the original library, these kind of glowing murals high up on the walls. And they use them in a lot more places. And they use them in places where the original game had nothing. But then in the original game, there are places where those motifs are there. And in the new version, they're gone.
I had a similar experience when I saw the preview videos and stuff. I thought that the new graphics were, there was something off. They just didn't look good aesthetically. But actually playing the game, they don't look bad. I kind of liked them, except for the outdoor environments in 343 Guilty Spark. They seemed ugly to me. Maybe it had to do with the issue of the fog not being there. But I didn't like the plants. I didn't like the structures. They didn't look good. And then there were some parts on the Maw that I just didn't like. I hated the engine room with the yellow caution tape everywhere. That just was not very pleasing to me aesthetically.
Yeah, actually, when I reached the engine room in my playthrough, I switched back to the original textures. I played the whole end of the game with the old textures. And
really?
Well, yeah, because actually I couldn't hit the jumps, trying to get up on the barrel.
Serious?
Yeah, trying to get up, because you don't want to walk around the catwalk all the way up, right? You go to the barrels and you jump from the barrels onto the shaft, and then you jump from the shaft up to the last catwalk.
It's so funny you say that, because, I found the new ones easier.
I
got up those things so much easier than I ever did
before. Those little notches on the end of the barrels, I guess I couldn't see where they were as well in the new graphics as in the old one. And of course, if you bump one of those while you're doing your little running start trying to get the jump,
it messes
up the jump, and you don't make the jump and you just fall to the next floor. I switched back and I played the end of the level with the old graphics.
Well, go back and try it with the new stuff, because the new stuff is actually very good.
You know what else? If you guys beat the game on Legendary, you'll notice that they flopped it yet again. It's not the Elite that grabs Johnson's ass. Johnson grabs the Elite's ass this time.
Oh, really? No,
I haven't
done my Legendary playthroughs yet, so I haven't seen that yet. But
I just started mine.
I did notice, though, at the beginning of that level, again, I would say that I'm not sure why they felt the need to touch what in some cases, I think even Marty O'Donnell called it the best cutscene in the game, which is the opening cutscene of the Maw, where the camera just pans over the waves of sand in the desert and then, moves up over a dune to reveal the crash site of the Pillar of Autumn. And there's a lake there now. And I'm like, what? Why? Why did you? I mean, and
they put the precipice over the edge of a water.
Geologically, that didn't seem to make sense either.
Wait a minute.
Here's this water that's next to the edge of a cliff.
And the Halo doesn't have any geology. All of these surfaces are artificial. There's no natural geology going on here. There's no volcanism at work. I suppose there's wind and erosion. Although we don't know how those function in these environments. And I got to admit, just things being different don't really bother me. I was having an online conversation a few weeks ago with Stephen Loftus, I think, who was objecting to the changes that were made in Silent Cartographer. Because in Silent Cartographer, when you're standing out on the beach and you're looking out on the water, there is nothing as far as the eye can see. There is nothing surrounding this island. And he had used that view and extrapolated it, comparing it to the texture map of the ring itself to identify where he thought that island
was. I love
that guy. Where there was enough open water where you wouldn't be able to see. Now, never mind that horizons don't function the same way on this surface anyway because of the curvature.
Right.
So I think you'd be able to see the edges from anywhere unless the atmosphere was just too thick, and there's no reason to believe it's that thick. But now what they've done is that they've put islands and mountains around that area. And that bothered him because he said, well, now it's not clear where this is placed. It's also not clear that...
So
you know,
they retconned the location. This is great stuff.
Well,
I gotta
basically,
put this
the lack of detail orientation allowed them to screw
well,
it up.
It was,
in other words, they didn't
it
care.
It was also, he interpreted that the facility's isolation was important. The idea that it was far from anything. That it was strategically important, that because if it was strategically important, it was geographically isolated. And now, with nearby mountains, it is no longer geographically isolated, which, his mind, changed the significance of the location. Now, that may be going a bit too far, but I would say that aesthetically, I thought it made sense and was a nice touch that the Pillar of Autumn's crash site, which you never saw because you weren't on the ship when it crashed, was a desert. In other words, it's kind of part of the progression that's gone on through the game, right? This verdant environment, and then we've gone through an icy wasteland, and now the flood is out, and the last environment we see on the surface of the halo is a lifeless desert. I thought it made sense. There's no relation. I mean, the flood haven't caused it to be a desert any more than the flood caused the control room to be frozen, even though that seems right. to be a recurring
theme.
Are
you sure?
As well.
They alter the atmosphere.
Yeah, but I think they make things hotter and more humid by the look of it, not colder. In fact, the thing that I always interpreted that to mean, for instance, Cortana's line that the makers of the ring wanted there to be inclement weather around that area, because there's also that in quarantine zone on Delta Halo, is that maybe the flood don't do as well in cold weather, and that's why the control rooms of all the facilities have cold weather. So I'm not saying that...
Well, Guilty Spark mentioned that they were going to be changing the environment to fit their needs anyway when they were talking in the library. So he doesn't get specific as
Could
far
be.
As what that
Could
actually
be. And,
means.
And maybe it makes sense. I think the flood areas were always supposed to be associated with heat and humidity as opposed to,
Yeah,
I
think that's probably true because you
or
look
aridity.
At what happens on High Charity when they invade. It gets very, very humid. It looks
yes.
like there's a lot of moisture in the air.
Yeah. But either way, I thought it thematically made sense that the last surface you see is a barren desert. And of course, now they've plopped a lake right in the middle of that. And I'm like, but why? I mean, did somebody just feel like drawing a lake that day or something? So do we have any final thoughts? Now, I have to say, I
despite its flaws, I loved
okay.
it.
Okay. I had fun playing it, but I think most of the reason I had fun playing it is because at base, this is still the same game it was 10 years ago, and that game is still fun.
Yes. And it looks better.
In some places it looks better, in some it doesn't. In some places it sounds better, in some it doesn't. I think most of the extra features were either tacked on and unnecessary, like most of the Kinect integration, or... additional.
It's just the lack of detail that pissed me off more than anything.
That actually takes away from the effect of the original, like the terminals. I can't really think of anything in a terminal that enhanced my enjoyment of the game rather than the opposite.
You didn't like the keys terminal?
No. Where they didn't step on any of the lore's toes. What they were doing was irrelevant, and that's why I didn't. I would say the keys terminal is actually...
I see what you're saying.
It's pretty irrelevant.
Well, a lot of it's pretty irrelevant. I mean, come on, they're trying to add on levels of, look what we did. We added this thing. Look, we put a lake here. Isn't it pretty? All these things
I'm
are
hard-pressed in any of the terminal content to find an area where they enhance the experience without contradicting themselves. Everything they've added is either redundant or contradictory.
No, I disagree with the keys
really?
Terminal. Yeah, because after seeing that, it sort of made me feel a little bad about... punching his face in. It makes that moment a little more poignant when
you
know
feel
what
bad
he
before?
Is going through. No, I didn't, because I had no idea what he was going through in his mind, what it
okay.
was like being enveloped by this flood.
But what if you didn't see the terminal before you punched his face in? Because
it's
in the trench, after all. I mean, you could theoretically go in and punch keys in the face and then play the terminal.
I think it would still be.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I think it would still be effective if it's not before or after, because you get a glimpse of what he's going through.
Okay.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, so
don't
ruin it for me.
It just seemed to me to be kind of a Hollywood standard, interrogation resistance you know, type thing. He's repeating his name and his serial number. You know, I thought it was pretty. I thought it was pretty cliche.
Well, that part was kind of cheesy. I thought they was, you know.
Now, it weren't those in the novels though.
I don't know.
Wasn't some of those details?
That's also my least favorite of the novels, so I wouldn't know.
Well, yeah, because I think that was the least favorite of everyone's of the novels.
No, there are some people who really like that, actually. Strange as that might seem.
The only thing that I thought in the novels, which I thought would be really cool to see, was when the Marines actually come aboard to try to steal Truth and Reconciliation. I thought that whole sequence there with that and the engineer and everything else, I thought that was really interesting. I would have loved to have seen that in the game. But, yeah, I'd have to say the experience, I do dislike the tacked-on stuff. I do dislike a couple of the technical glitches. But I can't say none of it interrupted my original just go ahead and play the thing and enjoy it. And that's exactly what I did, and that's exactly what I got of it. And I know I'm going to get more than my $40 worth out of it. I'm going to have fun going playing the original and seeing it all in its original glory with the exact same sound effects and music and all the other fun stuff. And I'm going to love seeing all the new, you know, pretty hotness, all they've added on to it as well. So for my money, yeah, the multiplayer, okay, it's the Reach stuff. That's all based on the server traffic and technical stuff and whatever else. I'm not surprised that they couldn't make their own. So to me, that's a non-issue since the original didn't have any anyway. But the co-op is definitely really cool. I really wish it worked across 11 time zones. Unfortunately, it doesn't. we got to live with it.
100 millisecond lag.
But just the fact that it's there and is an option is really, really cool, and I like the fact that they've added that on as well. Yeah, the terminals are annoying. They're not as detailed as anything that Bungie would have done. Yeah, that's a given. But I have to say, overall, I got my $40 worth of fun out of it, and I know I'm going to in the future. So, yeah, for me, it's definitely a plus.
Okay. Cody, now, I have a question. Well, can I ask a question real quick before I give my final thoughts? Is there a playlist that is exclusively for the anniversary multiplayer?
Is there a player model?
No, a playlist. How does that work? Do you have to join an anniversary only playlist?
As I understand it, yes, there is a hopper that includes the maps and also the tweaked weapons and behaviors, because it's not just, you know, it's not just the maps. They're also making play modes that are geared towards coming close to replicating the Halo 1, you know.
So if that's the case, isn't it siphoning away players from the general Reach playlists in the exact same way that a Halo 1 multiplayer would siphon them away, because they're in this exclusive playlist, not playing in the general matchmaking population with Reach?
I would say siphoning off. I'd say that they just gave the keys to the cool people.
I know what Cody is getting at, because we've had long discussions about, you know, why they would make this decision to not make it. I would say what it does is that, yes, it allows them to create a playlist within the Reach population, but playlists are also very fungible in the sense that while you are in a playlist, you are still online, you are still able to see other players, and if you are unable to get a match within a list, you can easily switch lists. Whereas
you can always go to another.
If Halo Anniversary was a separate executable, in other words, if it was like playing Halo 2, it would have a completely separate section. It would have a completely separate player population. And if it was not viable, you can't immediately drop out of that and go into another one. You've got to quit that game, launch another game. I think what it allows them to do is it allows them to flexibly manage the anniversary population. In other words, if it's large enough to support several lists, they can expand to several player lists. And yes, the Reach native ones will go down, but you can still manage that population as a whole. If the demand is very low, then they can reduce the number of playlists. They can have maybe just even one playlist. And if that's enough to satisfy the people who want to play those modes, then they can. And they still get to claim, you know, however many concurrent online players are for Reach. Whereas if they split it, it would be harder to manage. It would be harder to to split lists or to combine lists, and you'd have two separate lower concurrent player numbers. I don't think it matters that much. I mean, I honestly don't think that they did it, you know, to try and help Halo compete against, you know, Call of Duty in the top concurrent player lists. I don't see that's the point. I think it's just the idea that it's always better to have more players before you start dividing them into playlists. And by having them all running the same executable, they're better able to manage the number of lists for the types of games that people want to play. Whereas if it was a separate executable, you're literally dividing that off before you even start. And you know, a separate executable with one playlist,
I can see that
be worth launching.
Well, okay. Anyway, my final thoughts here.
yes.
Yeah. Please. I didn't pay $40 for this. I paid $0 for it, and I have the option of keeping it, but I'm not going to keep it. I'm actually going to send it back to the person who got it for me, just because I have no reason to play it because it's a worse experience for me than the original Halo. Due to the sound stuttering and the crashing and the lack of multiplayer. So, you know, even when it was free, it's not something
I think
that
that's just your Xbox. I think that's just you. But now here's my question, though. If you could play it and it didn't have the crashing and the stuttering and the blah, 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 but you could set it back to how it originally looked, would you still go back to the original? Would you play this? Because even with this version, you're getting it in widescreen, you're getting it in high def, but you still have the original textures and the original music.
It's okay. Look,
wouldn't you still want this version
for high def? And you know better than this. It is upscaled.
We went through that. Yeah, it's upscaled.
Whatever
but I'm
you're
talking,
watching it on,
it still looks better.
Whatever you're watching it on,
than the 4x3 480 version of the original. And my question is, wouldn't you rather play this than the other one?
It's not enough of a difference for me to make up for the fact that I cannot then play LAN.
I'm sorry, you can't what?
Can't play LAN. LAN multiplayer.
On this version.
How many other Xboxes are on your LAN?
Yeah.
I don't play it often, I'll be honest, but maybe like once every 3 or 4 months I end up getting together.
We are talking about $0 here. If it was $0 to me, right, I would say 16x9 is worth $0. Yeah, I'll just play in the old modes with the old music and I would be happy enough with that.
Maybe it is my Xbox, but my big hang up are the
I think it is your
are
Xbox.
The bugs. But that's my big hang up, and that's why I'm not going to keep it.
Well, Narc, did you have any crashes?
No. Again, the only glitches
they weren't
I saw
really crashes;
were
they were freezes.
Let's
say that.
Well, wait a minute. Was it a crash or wasn't it? Now I'm confused as to what you're calling it.
It was a freeze. It freeze so that I had to turn my box off and on. I guess it's a crash, but it froze.
Okay, that would be a crash.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that we can classify that as a crash. But I didn't experience that, and Ark didn't experience that.
No,
last
time I experienced that was
potentially
Fallout 3 New Vegas, which does that a lot.
Right. So if it's title specific... Okay, if it's Xbox specific,
okay.
No,
so
try
from
Xbox.
What I can see, actually, the release of this game didn't actually change anybody's opinion of it. Black Star
wouldn't expect it to.
No, you know what? It did. It did slightly exceed my expectations. It slightly exceeded my expectations. I will say that.
On that note, we'll wrap up and we'll come back for the next episode, where we'll go back to looking at Halo Reach.